The theme is the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. The kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at night, there was a shout. "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up. Okay. Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will be no enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came along saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. We can see it. While I was working with Steve in the library of the church, I found a book that has a story in which the author mentioned something that I would like to share. It is about a woman who lived alone in a small room, never going out. And then this priest who loves to travel around the world and was a great wanderer, but also a skeptical about that way, that type of life, approach her and ask her, "Why are you sitting here?" And she replied, "I am not sitting. I am on a journey." Then the author said this statement, "Whether we are wanderers or seekers, we are all on the way, on a journey, on a spiritual pilgrimage." And I was reflecting that with the birth of the Lord Jesus, he Christ became wanderer for survival, as you know. And the kind of life that he came to initiate more than religion is a journey. His gospel is a journey of faith. For some of us, it involves wandering, moving. For others, it may be mostly sitting. Either way, he wants us to keep going, to move forward through the seasons of the year, through the seasons of our life as well. And as the new year is coming closer, let us consider the resolution of walking closer to the Lord Jesus. He's the source, as you know, of renewed strength, renewed energy that enables to face and endure hardships and challenges and helps us keep going towards our destination. Now, what is our destination? In the story that we just read in Matthew 25, Jesus puts the gospel journey of faith side by side with a wedding celebration in the context of the first century in his land. At the time, as you know, the Jewish tradition was that the wedding party presided by the groom returned from the marriage ceremony at the bride's home and walked together for the banquet celebration at the groom's home. The women, these young women that we heard about in the story, are waiting for his return. Now, I said, according to the scriptures, that this experience that he's going to talk about works as a source of strength in our life. And I was asking, how is it that in the coming year, this hope of meeting the Lord again can energize the heart, like the source of energy that empowers a light? I believe that we can find answer in the context of the original readers, which was Matthew's congregation, Matthew's church. They were mostly Jews, and they had the view that meeting the Lord again, meeting the Lord again, helped them to center their lives in nurturing a relationship of trustful surrender with the Lord, in cultivating a watchful spirit of grateful expectation of meeting him, and the impact of this clear vision in their heart is that it helped them to live applying the gospel. And this help, this hope, prepares us today, I believe so. It prepares us today to live without fear in a moment that is so much needed. But there is a key word in the story. It's prepare, as well as keep awake, prepare. And how should we prepare? I noticed two important points in the story. There are many, but I would like just to mention two points, very important from my point of view. In the first place, since the young women represent believers, this story reminds Matthew's church, as well as us today, that we all start this journey of faith basically from the same position, at conversion. And we call conversion the experience of meeting the Lord Jesus and welcoming him into our life, which I would say it's wedding to the Lord. That experience we know that brings new opportunities. It opens our life for new possibilities, new potential. There are resources in the scriptures for us believers. But the second point that I find important in the story is that our personality is never canceled. Our character, our personality is a key factor in the way we handle things, in the way, in the results that we obtain in times of need in our Christian journey. Concerning the first point that I just mentioned, notice how similar they all look alike as we may look alike. See all what you can find in this story. I saw that all believe in the bridegroom. They believe the bridegroom exists and that he was coming for them. They were followers of the Lord. They desire, they expect his coming. You know, the story makes us aware that they left their homes to join the group. They carried the same type of oil lamps to the wedding processional. If you review the story, you will notice also that their lamps looked prepared for the encounter, all performed the same actions. They all lighted their lamps. They all fall asleep when the bridegroom delays. All the lamps grow dim when the fuel is used up. The bridegroom arrives for all of them at the same time, at midnight. And you see that they all woke up and trim their wicks and get ready to join the party. So that's the question, the title of our message today. Will you join the party? Because their character or personality is revealed in the story, is known by the results produced at the time of need. It is a determinant factor in the results that we obtain in critical times. You see that only half of them succeeded in joining the celebration because they brought with them a supply of oil in case of need. Now, Henry Nouwen once said, "The spiritual life is a gift of the Holy Spirit who lifts us up into the kingdom of God's love." But, he adds, Jesus tells us in different scriptures to set our hearts on the kingdom. And to set the heart on the kingdom requires human collaboration. He says that to overcome the forces that drags you back into the fear and worry-filled life, need two things. It needs serious aspiration and strong determination. Amen. Amen. And what prevents us from living wisely? What is working against our resolutions to deepen our dependence, that kind of dependence on the Lord? Well, during the pastoral prayer, we say, "Your kingdom come, your will be done. Thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory." But I came up with some reasons, and if you can think of others, please let me know at the end of the service. There are things that work against our living strongly by this belief. Often, the secular culture, society influences our way of thinking, our opinions, our points of view, and even our Christian beliefs. And this subject matter may be considered old-fashioned, may be silly, irrelevant to the situations that we are going through. And except for some churches, we do not talk much about it, other than acknowledging that Jesus spoke about it constantly. Another aspect that doesn't help us really is that Jesus has become so familiar to us that it seems that we fail to realize the challenge of his words, his teachings, and his works. the challenge that they really are to our faith. Also, in our daily living, we rarely mention, we don't never give thought to this, and how relevant is the promised return of the Lord Jesus in for our journey of faith. Also, you know, I have met Christians that do not see the need of preparing for something that may not happen anyways. And some think that if he will come, he will come anyways, regardless what they do. I mean, I have heard of kind of things. Others say that since he's love, he will let us in anyways. Even other people think that I will consider this later. I've been told that. I'll think about it later, not now, not today. Some prefer to live laid back, not thinking about this as if they would be around forever. Even others are focused mainly on the goals that they have set for their lives and the outcomes that they can control. So they prefer to prepare for those and not be bothered for things unknown. Then there is the waiting, Many people do not like to wait. It makes them feel impatient. And maybe maybe you agree with me that nothing tests and trials as waiting, when we have to wait for results. Strain comes in different ways for Christians. Now, how Jesus did it, how Jesus dealt with this. The scripture shows that Jesus frequently took time to be in the presence of the Father. And he was allowing the Spirit to feed his soul with peace that he needed in the circumstances, that he asked the Lord for the joy, for the faith, for the happiness, amen, for the celebration that was for him to meet the Father again. And because of this joy, he surpassed rejections. We see him dealing with disappointments and with the harm that was so much inflicted in him. He shared his joy with his disciples, and we are expecting that his joy will be felt in our hearts again this morning. So you see that to Matthew's church, Jesus promises that he is coming back to him, to them. And through Matthew's church today, he is reminding you that he will come again to visit you. Now, how should we live now? If you check in Matthew 6, verse 33, there you will see that Jesus tells us to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things, what we need to drink, to eat, to wear, all those things will be given you as well. So to move forward in this new year that's coming so close, let's rearrange our priorities to think first of what he wants us to think first. Let us manage our earthly issues from your place at the grace of the Lord. But if you are not sure, if you are occupying a definitive place in the grace of God, if you're not sure what to believe or to what extent, to those of you that may be watching us, if you have questions, you have concerns, you have doubts, I would like you to take away just three things with you to think about. The first one is the importance of allowing the Lord the Savior become Lord of our life. Be wise while you have the time. The word, the scripture tells us that rejecting the word hardens the heart, and it becomes more and more difficult to listen, to hear, to discern the voice of the Lord. Today may be the last time any of us hears about the word. So I recommend you to explore and to learn his teachings. Seek answers for your questions in the word of the Lord. The second point I would like to stress: understand that your soul is a lamp. The oil is God's grace that you receive when you received Christ. And let me tell you, a soul that is burning with the oil of the grace of God is a lighted lamp, because his light illuminates the darkness, the doubts, the insecurities. Because the oil fuels faith and produces the good actions, the good works that we like to be able to perform. And today, decide to keep responding in faith to your situations in the coming year. Let's make a decision today. Let's make a choice to allow our dogmas of faith become alive, so that we can allow our faith to be a lived response to life issues. And we pray that you leave this house of worship today with the oil needed for the needs that may come to you today, or the needs that you already brought with you in your heart. Prepare today to receive God's provision for this day. Do not rest on yesterday's oil, because it was for yesterday's needs, and it does not keep your lamp alight for today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Be ready today, because this oil is not transferable. We can pray for you, but you need to open your heart and receive it. That divine presence of the indwelling Spirit of grace must be sick, must be received and valued. Remember, as Jesus said, like treasure found in the field, or a pearl of great value, a pearl of great value. The third point I would like you to take with you, you know, is that for so long, the door has stayed open that we forget that one day it will close. Remember this: Christ is the door to enter the life of the kingdom while in this earthly life. Jesus is the door through which your prayers reach the Father. Jesus will open to those who are known by him and his Father. Hallelujah. People, do not believe that so serious and lasting consequences can possibly flow. But today, I would like to conclude, my dear brothers and sisters and viewers, with a word of for those of you who are waiting for an answer. I've been there. The waiting in the Bible is different from our culture. As wise believers, you survive in this culture with your questions and waiting, learning to live by faith and peace and the joy of the Lord in the heart until God's timing for the response. For you wise believers, the time of delays and waiting is the time to prepare. The time to prepare. Which areas of our personality need transformation? I would say it over and over and over again. Only the oil of the grace of the Lord can fuel hope in our life. We can repeat mantras and repeat assertions, but it's only coming with the open heart to the Lord to instill in us the oil of his grace that makes us feel this hope that he works for the good of those who believe in him, and that he appears when we least expect him. Because if we cultivate each day a watchful spirit of grateful expectation, if we live each day hoping with anticipation, with aspiration, with a clear determination that we are in the hands of the Lord and that our journey of faith brings his presence with us every day, then every day we can see him in the face of people that need our help. We can find the Lord in people that need to be guided to salvation. We can get ready for times of testing during that day. We can ask the Lord to provide the oil of his grace in our heart, because we may find ourselves in front of temptation and not having the power and discernment to deal with it correctly. We can find times of delay during that day that you did not expect. Also, God's correction may come in a way that you did not expect coming. There are opportunities for ministry, opportunities for church work. There's so much going on in our journey of faith, and the Lord waiting for us to be open to his oil of grace that brings that fruit of joy, that fruit of peace. It doesn't belong to us. The peace of the Lord belongs to the Holy Spirit, and he imparts that oil of peace in your heart. Believe me, it's not yours or mine. It belongs to the Holy Spirit that in his grace, he deposits that ability, that power in our heart. Let's pray. Hallelujah. 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 We praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Father God, maybe some of us do not have this true faith. Maybe some of us need to be reminded of the power involved in this journey. Help us believe in Christ as our Savior, but most of all, look at the new year that is approaching, viewing Christ as our Lord, with the expectation that we will be coming and that expectation is true. Leave us be alive without fear. Help us to open and offer to you the lamp of our soul to receive today at this moment the fullness of the oil of your grace. There are many issues in our lives, but today we are praying that the fullness of your oil will Fill our hearts with your grace and remind us who Jesus is and what kind of life he's guiding us to have. Your grace is sufficient. It is the only source of this kind of hope and this faith, and both enables us, the church, to endure whatever pressures the present brings and to keep looking forward in the new year to what is ahead. Hallelujah. See our issues of the heart. You know very deep, every one of us. You know us. See the issues of our heart. Any darkness, uncertainties, and sadness, lack of patience, and anger, and judgmental attitude, the doubts and grief, all are tempered by this hope and conquered because the lamp of our soul is receiving the fullness of the oil of your grace today. Help us have a serious aspiration, a strong determination to keep forward in this journey of faith. Help us allow the event of Christ's birth and his coming to occupy the future before us, because the expectation of your coming merges into the sense of your presence right now at this moment. We join the celebration of your presence at this moment in our life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.